Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have granted to us. This time that we can come free, so freely into your very presence to worship you, the great, the true, the almighty God. Our Father in heaven, we are deeply thankful that we are your children. We thank you that while we were in darkness and sin, you loved us and you reached out to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the depth of his love toward us, his willingness to lay down his life on our behalf, to bear the punishment that was due to us. Father, we thank you for the great salvation that you have granted to us. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we thank you also for the scriptures that have inspired for our learning. Father, we ask that you help us that we may grow in appreciation, gratitude to you day by day. We thank you for the way you've created man with great potential for good. But we also realize that together with the capacity for good, man is also capable of great evil. We ask, Father, that you help us that more and more we may understand what you require of us, how we can cooperate with you, so that we may be able to fulfill your purposes for us, that we may be able to enter fully into the richness of life you intend for us, that we may not live a life that brings grief to your heart. We ask that as we spend together this time, that you will help us to have a clearer understanding of our responsibilities before you, together with the privileges that you have granted to us. We entrust this time to your hands. We pray for your protection, your undertaking. We ask that you will not allow the powers of darkness in any way to hinder the communication of the word, of the reception of the truth. And we ask, Father, that you will have the freedom to be in our midst and to speak to us. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 116th message. We are the third major category of conduct, service and action, the 52nd message, on communication, the 16th message. And the subtopic for today, having good fellowship or contributing to disunity. Having good fellowship or contributing to disunity. Carrying tales or being responsible. Carrying tales or being responsible. We need to recognize that God has created us with the capacity to communicate, and this is indeed a precious gift of God to man, a very important aspect of how God has created us. And if we pause and ponder for a while, we will find that life will be totally different. Just imagine what life would be like if we are not able to communicate. It's a very vital aspect of how God has created us, so that we will be able to rise up to his calling to fulfill his purposes for mankind. It is essential and vital, deeply related to the issue of deep fellowship with one another and with God. But the last message we saw that death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18 verse 21. We need to realize that there's great potential for good as well as for evil, the ability of men to communicate. It can be very constructive, but it can also be very destructive. And we need to learn to understand the issues involved and how we need to exercise care and to conduct ourselves with wisdom in this area, a very vital issue of life. but it has a direct bearing relationship with the inner state of man. So we've seen in the previous message that a man's words can be a fountain of wisdom and a fountain of life. It brings much blessings to others, but it can also cause significant damage. Let us turn to James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. James, the epistle of James, has a lot to talk about the issue of the tongue, but I just want to highlight a few aspects. Verse 5, James tells us the tongue is just a small part of the body, but it boasts of great things, and behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. A great forest can be set aflame by a small fire. And then James goes on to tell us that the tongue is a fire. That is, the tongue can set aflame a great forest, though the tongue seems so small. And he says, the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. It can set a great forest aflame. Verse 8, James says that the tongue is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. That does not mean it's always this way, but easily it can be this way. A restless evil full of deadly poison. And we must not underestimate the seriousness of the issues involved and how deadly the tongue can be and how much damage it can cause. There's a need to learn to exercise great care in the use of the tongue, but in a broader sense, all forms of communication, not necessarily through this speech alone, but all forms of communication. We must learn not to speak rashly, like the thrust of a sword that can cause unnecessary pain that cuts and destroys. I want to consider two scenarios with you in the context of fellowship and our working in church life. Two scenarios in the context of fellowship and our working in church life. But the issues and the principles we consider will also be relevant to communications in other contexts. But in particular, I want to concentrate on the implications in the context of fellowship and our working in church life. Scenario A. There are some who may appear rather concerned about people, about various issues and situations, what is going on in church life, and they may consider themselves having a good time of fellowship. But in reality, they are actually gossiping, spreading strife and dissension. Some may appear rather concerned about people, various issues and situations, what's going on in church life, or may consider themselves having a good time of fellowship, but in reality, they are gossiping, spreading strife and dissension. And sometimes there is also the presence of negative attitude and motives. For example, one or both may be unhappy or against a third party or third parties who may not be present. I may want to get that person or to get those people into problems or into the bad books of others. And all this taking place without the person doing so being very conscious that it is taking place. That is why he or she may still consider himself having a good time of fellowship. Scenario B. On the other hand, there are others who may appear or regarded as spreading strife, gossiping, carrying tales, or branded as busybodies. On the other hand, there are others who may appear or are regarded as spreading strife, gossiping, carrying tales, or branded as busybodies when people are not happy with them. But in reality, out of genuine concern, they are bringing matters to the attention of the relevant people. Who can look into them. Genuine concern for the people concerned, for church life, for the Lord's work, for the issues involved. And there is a proper place for this. We will consider this in greater detail later. What makes the difference? We can see the crucial issue that distinguishes the positive from the negative has to do with the real motives in the hearts of the people involved and the approach taken. The crucial issues that distinguishes the positive from the negative has to do with the real motives and the approach taken. I would now want to consider in greater detail together with you scenario A. This is not uncommon. Frequently, believers may appear to be engaged in good fellowship and discussion, and they may be expressing concern for various people and various issues. But in reality, what is taking place may be rather negative and damaging. And I want to consider some common negative examples. These common negative examples can take place with varying degrees of seriousness and presence of aggravating factors. There are various modifications to what some of these examples I'm giving to you, but as I mentioned them, it shouldn't be difficult for you to identify with such situations that do easily occur. The first example, A sharing with B his struggles and difficulties. In the course of it, he also shares his difficulties with another person, Z. So in the course of doing so, A does not exercise sufficient care, and he may say various negative things about Z that are not very accurate or exaggerated. And as a result, B is negatively influenced. For example, A may tell B that Z is not so sincere and honest. He told me he intended to embark on course of action number one, but now we look at it, instead he has taken course number two. But what is the reality? In reality, Z was only considering taking course number one. Or it can be that Z earlier intended to take course number one, but later changed his mind. So he was not insincere, neither was he dishonest about it when he had communicated with A that he had thought of embarking on course action number one, but later he acted on course action number two. But in A's communication with B, it comes through in that form that Z is not sincere, he's not honest, told me he wanted to take this course of action, but instead he took another. So as a result, B may then have a negative opinion about Z, may be prejudiced against Z or have doubts about Z. Now this is even more so if B does not question the integrity of A, or they may be very close in their relationship with each other. And this can lead to adverse effects on future relationship between B and Z. Earlier on, they were alright, they were okay. But just as a result of such communication, it has adverse effects on future relationship between B and Z. B views Z with suspicion, doubts. Now this may be aggravated by A telling B, please don't, or make sure you do not tell Z, or raise the matter with Z. This kind of things easily happens, often takes place. And as a result, it hinders B's freedom to clarify the matter with Z. And for a long time, he holds these doubts, suspicions, or prejudice against Z. He doesn't clarify because he has been told not to do so. Let us beware and pay heed that sometimes this kind of thing can take place rather subtly. The doubts, queries we may raise in people's minds about another. A's remarks causing doubts, queries in B's minds about Z. It can take place very subtly in a form that's not obvious. And it can take place over a period of time, a process. From time to time, some comments here and there about Z, various observations involving Z, and slowly a negative picture of Z becomes more and more formed, ingrained in the mind of B. This can take place even with some qualifications such as, I'm not very sure what actually took place or why Z behaved the way he did. But the whole way of communication over a period of time casts various doubts and queries about Z in the mind of B. I go on to another negative example, but following on, number two, but the carry on with what we've mentioned in point number one, the first example. That B now shares with C these things about Z which he heard from A. This also takes place frequently. B now shares with C the things that he has heard about Z, or rather the things he heard about Z which he had heard from A. And sometimes he adds to the confusion because he's not so accurate. Now it can be not so accurate in three areas, and it's helpful for us to bear this in mind. Very important. One is, he's not so accurate because of what his reception. His reception from A. B receives certain things from A, but B may not receive it so accurately, more than different from what A intended. That's one part. Then the other part is memory, recollection. As he communicates to C, he tries to recollect, but his recollection is not perfect. Sometimes grossly inaccurate. So the recollection part is another problem that adds to the confusion. And finally, whatever he is able to receive, whatever he is able to recollect, now another aspect is his communication to C. We may have something in our minds, but we may not be very accurate in the way that we transmit what we intend to communicate. So how B finally communicates to C. And sometimes the problem is further intensified with B adding on. That is, sometimes it is intensified with personal additions on the part of B. B may have his own impressions about Z, personal experiences of Z, and he adds on to it. But sometimes he mixes it up with what A is supposed to have communicated with him. And he shares all this with C. Supposedly, all these things are from A. And then the thing may spread on to D, to E, to F. And sometimes, a very grossly distorted story finally reaches Z himself. And this leads to great confusion. And Z is furious because the story that he receives, that he has heard, what A is supposed to have been telling about him. And he can be very angry. How can A say such things about him? It can lead to very strained relationships. I go on to the third point, a third example, a continuation from the first two, or rather a continuation from the first. In the sharing between A and B. B is not happy with Z, or he has certain unhappy experiences with Z. B himself. So A has some of these difficulties, is sharing with B, and B himself is not happy with Z, or he has certain unhappy experiences with Z, and as a result he is quick to agree with A. When A shares with him certain things about Z, then B is quick to agree, yes, yes, Z is like that, and then adds on some personal comments in that direction, as a result reinforcing and aggravating A's negative view of Z and his difficulties with Z. Now, initially, both A and B may have been rather unclear about Z. These are some queries. But in the course of their sharing, so-called fellowship, the way A shares and the way B comments, so B's comments in response to what A has shared, B's comments, yes, yes, Z is like that, I also have such experiences with him, the net result is both of them becomes clear in inverted commas, that Z is really that way. They become rather clear already, that Z is like that. Although, in reality, there isn't adequate, proper, objective basis for such conclusions. Two unclear coming together becomes clear, so-called clear about Z, that Z is this way and that way. I go on to fourth negative example. Fourth negative example. A tells B, do you know what Z thinks of you? Or what Z has been saying about you? From time to time, these things will take place. We do hear such communication takes place. A tells B, do you know what Z thinks of you? Or what Z has been saying about you? People tend to be rather sensitive and easily aroused in this area. The moment you hear somebody, what somebody is saying about you, especially any hint of anything unfair or anything negative about you, any hint of anything improper or any unfair remarks about them, people are very sensitive in this area. And if what is transmitted by A is not so accurate, either the words used or without mentioning their context, then the meaning communicated can become rather different from what actually took place. I'll give an example. For example, A may tell B, Z says you are rather stubborn and not open. A tells B, Z says you are rather stubborn and not open. straight away. A bee hears something like that, he can be very upset, aroused, antagonized, especially if he believes A, that what A says is true. How can Z say such a thing about me? I'm stubborn and not open. It's very provocative. You may wonder what made A say that. So in reality, what did A hear? What did Z say? In reality, Z had said, B is rather determined to take that course of action. B is rather determined to take that course of action. And it is not easy to persuade or convince him otherwise. That is to change his mind. B is rather determined to take that course of action. And it's not easy to persuade or convince him otherwise. That is to change his course of action. Now what Z had said about B may actually be an accurate observation. That was the truth. That B was rather determined to take a particular course of action, and it's not easy to persuade him or to convince him otherwise. But that observation, though accurate in itself, does not necessarily reflect anything bad about B. It can be good or not good, depending on whether the course of action is appropriate for B and why he is determined to do so and why he is not easily persuaded or convinced not to do so. So that observation in itself, what Z had said about B, may be an accurate observation and in itself a neutral statement. Can be good or not good. It depends whether the course of action is appropriate or B, whether it's a wise thing and why B is determined. If it is clearly an unwise course of action and B is determined because of personal selfish desires and is not easily persuaded or convinced because he wants to go his own way, yes, then you can say that he is stubborn, he's not open, he wants to pursue his own course of action. But in itself, such an observation is neutral. Because if the course of action is something appropriate, it's a wise course of action, and B had thought through the matter carefully, prayed over, perhaps even discussed with others who are able to help him, and come to quite a clear conclusion about the matter, he may be rather determined to do what he believes the Lord wants him to do, and as a result, he's not easily persuaded or convinced to change his mind, then that can be a good thing. So you may say, how can A say such a thing to B? How can A tell B that Z says you are rather stubborn and not open? But in reality, in this kind of scenario, this kind of things, this kind of context, it can't take place. Why? Because A may communicate this way to B because he may think that it is quite a reasonable way of transmitting what Z has said. Especially if he is of the view that the course of action that B wishes to take is not a wise or advisable course of action. Just pause and consider about it. A has heard from B that, A has heard from Z that B is rather determined to take that course of action and not easy to persuade or convince him otherwise. And if A thinks that the course of action B wishes to take is not the wise one, then he would consider that, yes, this is a fair interpretation of what Z has said, and he's communicating reasonably because it's not a wise course of action, and yet he is not easily persuaded or convinced to change his mind, so it means that he's stubborn and not open. So Z says you are rather stubborn and not open seems to be a reasonable description of one who is determined to take a wrong course of action and not easy to persuade or convince otherwise. But we can see that what is transmitted, the meaning is totally different from what Z had actually said. And sometimes A, in communicating to B about what Z is supposed to have said about him, A sometimes does not mention the context. He just says, Z says you are rather stubborn and not open. But he doesn't mention the context that the words are supposed to have been spoken, or sometimes he has forgotten the context. But when Z said those things, he formed these things in his mind, that Z is saying, be stubborn, not open. That's how he concludes in his mind. And so one day, talking to A talking to B about it, what he has heard from Z, A tells B in this way, but he has forgotten the context. So he says to B, Z says, you are rather stubborn and not open. So again, in this kind of situation, as a result, B can be very angry with Z and can lead to a serious strain in the relationship between B and Z, and sometimes it can last for years, especially when B does not clarify with Z what actually took place. Let us take note that without clarifying the matter with Z, B should not conclude that is what Z has said, and that's the meaning intended to be conveyed or communicated. This is a point that's very important for us to bear in mind when we hear from third parties about what is supposed to have been communicated. Though it may appear very much that way, especially the one that we hear from, we do not question the integrity, or we may have interacted with a person to some degree, and as far as the person can recollect, it is this and that, so the person shares with us, and it may seem very much pointing to a certain direction, leading us to make certain conclusions about Z. But before or without clarifying with Z, we must be very careful not to conclude. And sometimes we may deem it not so feasible or not so wise to clarify with Z. Such situations do arise. We must be able to carry on living without being negatively affected and concluding that that is what Z has actually said, or that's what how Z has conducted himself. We must leave the issue open. But just bear in mind that that is what A has said, that Z has said. But what it actually means is not very clear to us. As I mentioned just now, we must bear in mind that A may not be accurate, for example, in the reception of what Z has said, in his recollection of what happened, and then finally the way he communicates. So things can go wrong all along the way here, even if there is no question of A's integrity. How much more so if A is unhappy with Z and as a result is a bit motivated in the way he communicates to make things difficult between B and Z. But even in context where there's no issue of A's integrity being questioned, that means he's actually honest about it. He's not trying to create mischief. But there can still be these issues. His reception, the way he receives what Z has actually said. Z may say one thing, mean one thing, but A may have received it differently, the meaning. Then the second part is his recollection when he tries to communicate with B. What he recollects may not be accurate. And finally, the way he communicates, he may not be so accurate in his communication to B. And finally, bear in mind also B's reception. B's reception may not be what A actually intends to communicate to him. All this may sound very complicated. As a result, you may be very wary about communication. But we need to face the realities of life, that there are these issues which are real. It calls for carefulness, prayerfulness, and some areas which are more sensitive to exercise even greater care. That does not mean we have to refrain from communication. As I emphasize, communication is a very precious capability that man is capable of, that God has granted to us. It's very important for our development, for fellowship, edification of one another, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. But we need to exercise great care, especially in more sensitive areas, in areas that may significantly cause complications in relationships. We need to exercise care and realize the complications, the kinds of difficulties that may arise. And so I want to raise various kinds of difficulties that may arise for us to bear in mind. And these are not remote possibilities. We pause for a while, take note, ponder about these various scenarios that I have mentioned, and you realize that from time to time, these kinds of problems do arise when people are not so careful, either in the way they communicate or the way they conclude from what they have heard. And as a result, relationships are negatively affected. Sometimes the matter may be further complicated by B responding to A or to others about Z. B having heard that Z is supposed to have said such things about him, and he gets affected. That Z has said, "You are rather stubborn and not open." Because of what these things that he has heard, that Z is supposed to have said about him, B may respond to A or to others. Because of what he has heard, that Z is supposed to have said about him, and now he responds about Z. He may then go on to make certain remarks about Z. Because he is aroused, he's affected. Remarks which otherwise he would not have made. So this can further complicate matters. B gets affected. So Z has said these things about him. So he gets affected, and then he responds to A. Various things he will say about what happened and about Z and so on. And of course, the thing can become problematic when later on, somehow, Z hears these things, or A goes back and tells Z what B is supposed to have said, and so on. I do not want to elaborate further, but many of these complications can multiply easily if you pause and consider, and these things do take place in the realities of life. I want to go on to consider fifth negative example. The fifth negative example is more straightforward. That A and B, though they may be thinking they're having a good time of fellowship, they are actually engaging in careless gossip about various ones. Engaging in careless gossip about various ones. Why careless gossip? Careless gossip because they are engaging in careless, useless talk about others. Careless, useless talk about others that does not edify anyone, including speculations and unnecessary comments about others, and sometimes also unkind remarks. Not only it does not edify anyone, instead they promote doubts and suspicions of various ones without proper basis. For example, various comments may be made as to why X, Y, Z did this or did that or did not do this or did not do that. Various comments, various speculations. Or sometimes very personal matters of others that they may come to know or have been shared with them in confidence. Unnecessarily, they talk about these things. Let us take note that very personal matters of others or what has been shared with us in confidence, we should not freely talk about such things unless really needful, and even then with the right people who can help shoulder the responsibility, including, if necessary, to look into the matter. Sometimes that may be necessary, that may be needful. This is an area that I intend to spend some time to consider in greater detail. The issue of things that needs to be brought to the attention of those who may have to shoulder that responsibility or have to look into certain matters. But in particular, issues that are personal to others, especially where it is quite different from some of the scenarios that I mentioned just now, that where at times there may be a need to clarify with others what you have heard because it involves them. In areas where it's personal to a particular person that you have somehow come to know about or has been shared with you in confidence, then we need to exercise care, not to freely talk about such things. Let us realize that the various undesirable negative things in the examples that I have mentioned to you, that these things take place easily, and to bear in mind that the evil one is actively at work, that he seeks to encourage, to promote these things, taking advantage of human deficiencies and weaknesses. And the evil one concentrates his attention on this area because he wants to promote suspicions, discord, unnecessary problems in relationships, contentions and bitterness. He wants to hinder good fellowship and unity amongst the brethren. And we realize and we know that good fellowship and unity amongst the brethren is very much in the heart of God. The Lord Jesus prayed fervently for unity amongst the brethren in John chapter 17. An issue very dear to the heart of the Lord. It's also very important in healthy outworking of church life. Unity or disunity, discord or good fellowship will have significant implications also in relation to effectiveness in growth and in service. When there's true unity, good fellowship, then it's very helpful context for growth or development. But when there is disunity, bitterness, all kinds of complications and unnecessary problems in relationships, it can significantly hinder not only growth but also effectiveness of service. Effectiveness of service from the angle of cooperation, as well as a very major area that we must not forget, and that is when there is unity, true unity within, not just external, the outward forms without the inward reality. When there's true unity within, there can be much greater spiritual impact in prayer, in testimony, in service, and the freedom with which the Spirit of the Lord can work in the context of church life. In contrast to that, where there is disunity, suspicions, the evil one can easily take advantage of these things and significantly reduce the effectiveness of contribution to the Lord's work by that congregation. So this is a very major issue, not a minor one. It not only is a question of whether people are comfortable or whether there's a lot of bitterness and people upset or not. It goes far beyond that. At times it can cause great damage, stumbling to people's walk with God. So we need to exercise great care in this area, to be prayerful, otherwise we may be involved in various of these negative practices without being very conscious of it or of its gravity. Let us pay heed to some verses in the scriptures. Let us turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, verses 20 to 22. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. Let us realize that if we are not careful, if we become like the whisperer can fuel contention. There may be some difficulties, but without the whisperer adding fuel to it, or you say, add oil to the fire, then it could have become, with passing time, it may be resolved. But when the whisperer is present, there may be some difficulties at times taking place in church life, some difficulties in relationship, but with passing time, they may be resolved, or the bitterness may go off. But where there are whisperers around who adds on, like wood to the fire, charcoal to the hot embers, or oil to the fire, adding oil to the fire, you may find that the thing gets worse and worse. Let us take note also of verse 22. It says, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. Dainty morsels. It may seem so tasty. And sometimes people engaging in negative communication, gossip, and yet in the course of it, it may seem something enjoyable. And not only that, here it talks about dainty morsels that goes down deep into innermost parts of the body. To me, here it communicates the idea that some of the things that are communicated, though negative, may seem tasty and easily taken in, may be easily received. A lot of negative things may be easily received by the hearer. So we need to exercise care, not only in our communication, but also the way we are easily affected, influenced by negative things that we hear. And it says that it goes down deep. They go down deep in the innermost parts of the body. It goes down deep. It becomes very much a part of the person. The person's beliefs. It stays down there. It goes down deep into the innermost parts of the body. It says literally the chambers of the belly and the margin. So here I see it's communicating here that it becomes very much a part of the person. It goes down deep, it stays there, and such things may stay there for a long time, influencing the person's thoughts and actions. So the things that we say, the things that we hear, let us bear in mind. The effects can be far-reaching and also long-lasting in its negative implications. Let us make sure we are never guilty of what is stated in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. One who spreads strife is a perverse man. Let us be careful that we are not guilty of spreading strife. In the way we talk, communicate, unnecessarily we are spreading contentions and strife. And a slanderer separates intimate friends. Slanderer has the implication there of negative motive. The motive there is not so good. And you spread what is not true, and as a result, you separate even good friends, intimate friends. But let us also realize that the negative effects can also take place even if it is not deliberate, it's not malicious. But if what we say is untrue or inaccurate, what is untrue and what is inaccurate is being transmitted, it can still separate good friends and destroy friendship. So especially things, communication that can result in this kind of direction, or negative things that we hear or we think that we have heard and we talk about it, we have to be exceptionally careful. Is it the right context to talk about such things? Are we accurate in our communication? Are we careful? What is not true, what is inaccurate transmitted, can separate good friends and destroy friendship. One final verse that we must pay heed to, the words of the Lord Jesus himself, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. The words of the Lord Jesus. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. And I say to you, there's a certain degree of emphasis here, the Lord Jesus. He could have just started by saying, every careless word that men shall speak. But he prefaced it by, and I say to you, certain degree of emphasis, and I say to you, that every careless word, every careless, or in the margin it says useless, or you can also translate as idle. Every careless, useless, idle word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. Let us be careful with our words. It does not mean we shouldn't speak. It is important that we should speak up when we should. As we've seen, words can communicate life. Words can be like fountain of life and fountain of wisdom, very helpful. But the Lord Jesus warns us, every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. We have to give an account for all the useless, careless, idle words that we speak. How much more so careless, improper words that stir up or spread contention and disunity. Let us go on now to scenario B. I mentioned to you at the beginning two scenarios, scenario A and scenario B. We've been concentrating on scenario A. I now want to go on to scenario B. Because of the many problems associated with talking about others, especially negative comments, observations, or queries, or mentioning their problems in other people's lives, or that their conduct and their words may not be so appropriate or may result in problems. Because of many problems associated with talking about others in these areas, many have become uneasy or draw back from talking about such things, even when helpful and needful. And this is the part I now want to concentrate upon. At times it can be needful and helpful. And people may become uneasy, they may draw back because of many of these problems associated, And also because they do not want to be regarded as, or they themselves may somehow harbor a vague, uneasy feeling that if they were to do so, it would not be proper and maybe like gossiping or carrying tales, or somehow they feel uneasy that they should not be saying bad or negative things about others. So a person may become uneasy, may draw back from talking about such things even when helpful and needful, sometimes because they do not want others to regard them in that way as carrying tales or as busybodies, or they themselves have an uneasy, vague notion that it is not good to do such things. I want to emphasize that it is important to recognize that there is a proper place for it. There is an interesting verse in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 11, which many readers of the scriptures may not pay much attention to it, but is relevant to our present consideration. Perhaps I just ask you a question before you look at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 11. Whether do you know what led to Paul writing to the Corinthians about their problem of division and quarrels? Do you know what led to Paul writing to the Corinthians about their problem, divisions and quarrels? Let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Just one verse that we may now reading over, not pay much attention to it, but it's relevant to our present consideration. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he says, "For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by close people, that there are quarrels among you." Paul says that he has been informed by close people about problems amongst the Corinthians, that there are quarrels amongst them. So he's not talking about something pleasant. Something unpleasant, something negative is taking place amongst the brethren. Quarrels. And Paul was informed by close people. So these people talked about it. They communicated to Paul. As a result, Paul was aware of it. And this led to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And it resulted in wise words of counsel and exhortation on the part of Paul to address the problems, the issues, and many precious truths and principles and verses are communicated, from which not only the Corinthians benefited, but also Christians through the ages have also greatly benefited from what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Though we cannot be certain about the motive of close people, and there doesn't seem to be any further reference to them in the scriptures apart from this verse in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 11, but there is no indication of any negative motive. But the flow of it and the context of it, we can see that not only is there no indication of negative motive, we can appreciate a proper place for communication of such information to the Apostle Paul. This is a point I want to emphasize. Paul wasn't aware of it, but now he's informed by close people about these problems amongst the brethren. But we can easily appreciate, as we pause for a while, that it is proper, helpful, that Paul becomes aware of these problems so that he can look into the matter. If he wasn't aware, he couldn't look into it. But now that he has been informed, he can look into it. And he did. And it is important for the Lord's work that Paul did so. It is important for the Lord's work that Paul did so. And he was able to do so because he was informed of the problem. So being informed of the problem in such a context, information coming to Paul, is a proper and a positive thing. Sometimes to do such a thing may not be easy. It may require a certain degree of conviction, of courage, and also that we care enough to do it. Because it may not be such a simple thing. It may require time, energy, and not only that, a preparedness to be misunderstood by others or to incur the displeasure of others. Sometimes others come to know about it, especially if they've been involved in something that is not so good, and they come to know that you are the one who has brought the information to the person who finally looked into the matter. He may not be happy with you. He may consider you a busybody or carrying tales. Why do you have to say such things? Why don't you leave it alone? It's none of your business. Can this incur the displeasure of others? It can be misunderstood. At times it requires a certain degree of conviction, of courage, and that you care enough. In many of these contexts, it is very easy to just leave it alone. It is important to recognize there is a proper place for such communication to take place, but I want to emphasize also to bear in mind the approach to take and issues to bear in mind, which is what I now want to concentrate upon. Three aspects to bear in mind. One is important to recognize there's a proper place for such communication, but bear in mind also the approach that we take and other issues to bear in mind. The first point, very important, is the motive. When we are involved in these things, we must make sure about our motive that is out of genuine concern for people. Not just saying it is so, but deep within our hearts, we are actually motivated by genuine concern. Genuine concern for a few issues. One is the people. Genuine concern for people, their welfare. We are genuinely concerned. We speak up because we are concerned for people, for their welfare. That is why we spoke up. Genuine concern about what is going on and the implications for the Lord's work. Genuine concern. Not because we like to gossip, to talk bad about people, but we are deeply concerned about the implications of what is going on and the implications for the Lord's work, for what is going on in church life and for the Lord's name. We must take care that we are motivated genuinely for these reasons. That is why we speak up. And not because we are basically unhappy with someone and we want that person to get into the bad books of the person we are speaking to. The second important point that we need to take note of, and basically I want to bring out 3 points, the third of which I will elaborate at some length. The second point is to communicate it to the right people. To communicate it to the right people. This is important. To prayerfully to the Lord, that we communicate it to the right people, not just to anybody. Some information is appropriate only when we communicate to the right people. To others, it can create other problems and complications. Communicate to the right people who are in a position to look into the matter. It's an issue they are concerned about, but what's the point of communicating it to others who cannot look into it? Or at least to someone who will be in a position to communicate it to the right people if you yourself find it very difficult to do it. But still, you have to be prayerful that the person that you speak to, who will then communicate to the right people, is also the correct person to speak to. People who are in a position to look into the matter, and here there are a few aspects involved when we mention about people who are the right people. Few aspects. One is the position to look into the matter. The other would be to determine who are the right people, would also include those who are more able and careful to ascertain the truth of the matter. Those who are able and who are careful to ascertain the truth of the matter so that they will not be easily negatively affected. They are more able and careful to ascertain the truth of the matter and not taking steps without proper basis. Some of these things, if you're not careful, you talk to certain people and they start taking steps based on what has been communicated, but they're not so careful. So people who are more careful to ascertain the truth of the matter and will not just take steps without proper basis. Also, those who can absorb and shoulder the information without being unduly weighed down or troubled. Sometimes you have certain disturbing information, and if you're not careful, you share with certain people, and when they hear it, they get very negatively affected. They are weighed down. They are troubled. They are negatively affected. So share with those who are more able to absorb and also to shoulder the responsibility without being unduly weighed down or troubled. And also those who are not so likely to be negatively affected or prejudiced against the person or persons involved. I say not so lightly because there is no guarantee. Anybody can be affected, but some are not so likely to be negatively affected or prejudiced. So sometimes some of this information, you're not so clear about the whole thing, and if we are not careful whom we communicate it with, the hearer may become prejudiced against the person or persons involved, that is, those you talk about. So those who are not so likely to be negatively affected or prejudiced against the persons involved in the issues includes the ability to bear in mind what he has heard without concluding on the matter. Including the ability to bear in mind what he has heard without concluding on the matter or holding it against the person or persons involved in the matter before the matter is clearly established. The ability to bear in mind what he has heard without concluding on the matter or holding it against the person or persons involved before the matter is clearly established, even though it may appear that way. So the hearer, he hears certain things, it may appear very much in a certain direction, but he's able to hold it, to bear it in mind, without concluding, and without holding it against the person or persons involved, even though it may appear that way, before it is established. And I want to emphasize that this is not easy. It is not easy to do that, especially when it very much appears that way. You hear about certain things taking place, certain persons are involved, it very much points in the direction of certain people being very irresponsible or improper in their conduct and ways. It is not easy not to conclude or to be affected or prejudiced against that person before it is properly established. And even those with some degree of maturity and those in position of responsibility have to consciously exercise great care in this area. Otherwise, they can be affected and significant implications may take place, including being unfair or injustice being done to person or persons involved in the issues. The third point I want to emphasize in such context is the need to take care to communicate accurately. Take care to communicate accurately. This is very important, and I'll take some time to elaborate on this matter. It's something that we need to pay heed to. Take care to communicate accurately to a degree that's feasible, to a degree that we can. So what is clear, what are facts, we can state as facts. But what things are not so clear, we must state it as not so clear and not state it as if they are facts. If they are our own opinions, our own impressions, or there's a certain inference or interpretation taking place, then we must state it as such. That's my inference. But not to state all these things as facts. So for example, I mentioned to you just now, and A communicating to B about what Z is supposed to have said about B. He says, Z says you are rather stubborn and not open. But Z never said those things. That was his own interpretation, inference, based on what Z had said, that B is rather determined to take that course of action and not easy to persuade or convince otherwise. And from there, A has that in his mind, that Z is of the view that B is stubborn and not open. And he goes on to say, Z says, you are rather stubborn and not open. But that is your own inference. So opinions, impressions, personal interpretations, inferences, we must state as such. Facts, we can state as facts. Inferences, opinions should not come through as facts. Together with that, it is important to bear in mind to give the context and the relevant surrounding circumstances to give an accurate, wholesome picture. Words that are uttered, if we do not give the context, the meaning can become very different. Try to give the context, the relevant surrounding circumstances, and the goal is that we can then give an accurate, wholesome picture. That is what we must strive for, to give an accurate, wholesome picture. So for example, A may be making some comments about Z. And A says of Z that he has been making various adverse remarks about church life. A says about Z that Z has been making various adverse remarks about church life, and that people are not responsible and not working at it. That Z has been making various adverse remarks about church life, and that people are not responsible and not working at it, and Z is not happy with what is going on. He's not happy with what's going on. And he says all this in front of various ones. Now this may sound rather negative, but the context and what actually took place is this: that there was a discussion about how things are getting on in church life. There was a discussion about how things are getting on in church life, and Z was asked for his views. And Z mentioned general appreciation of various aspects of what is going on and how the Lord has been undertaking. But at the same time, he also mentioned some areas of concern that can be improved. So it's a discussion of how things are getting on in church life, and Z has been asked for his views. And he mentions general appreciation of various aspects of what's going on, how the Lord's been taking. But at the same time, he also mentions some areas of concern that can be improved, including examples of areas where there are people not working at it as well as they can. Including examples of areas where there are people not working at it as well as they can. So these remarks are rather reasonable actually. And we can see that the meaning, the picture, is very different. What took place and what has been communicated. If we are not careful, we do not give the proper context, and we are also not careful with the actual description and the words that we use. So some aspects that are not so clear, or we cannot recall so clearly, including the words that are used, we need to indicate. So in the same example, A mentions that Z says he is unhappy with what is going on in church life. That is what A says. Z says he is not happy. Z is unhappy with what is going on in church life. but it is not accurate because Zed merely mentioned concern. Not that he's not happy with what's going on in church life, but he's expressing concern and that there are some areas that can be improved. From there, Zed says he's unhappy with what is going on. There's some element of truth. Zed has expressed concern in some areas that can be improved, so he says unhappy with what is going on. But other aspects that are mentioned, his general appreciation, what is going on and so on, all these are not mentioned. And then, apart from that, Zed says he's unhappy with what is going on in church life and people are not responsible and not working at it. Again, there's some element of truth, but it's not really that way. He didn't say that people are not responsible, they are not working at it, but rather that there are areas where there are people not working at it as well as they can. It may seem like just a little bit of difference in words, but the meaning is totally different. But it is not difficult to understand why such totally inaccurate communication can take place. Another point that we need to take note of is to exercise care that we do not paint. This is still part of point 3, accuracy in communication, to communicate accurately. That we do not paint the picture from a particular angle. That we do not paint the picture from a particular angle because of a personal desire, the action be taken in that particular direction. We exercise care not to paint the picture from a particular angle because of a personal desire, the action be taken in that particular direction. We want some action to be taken in a particular direction, and so we share from a certain angle so that action will be taken by the one who is hearing us. It is a common tendency to do so. But we must be careful not to do that. Because if we do that and it's not a wholesome picture communicated, we will be held accountable for whatever negative consequences that may follow. When we do that, the result is it is not wholesome, objective picture that is presented. We only try to paint the picture from a certain angle. And not only not wholesome, objective picture presented, it can be unfair to various people who are involved. And sometimes, certain causes of action taken will have various implications for other people. And it can be unfair to them because the picture that we present is not wholesome, but is with a slant. In such context, it is needful to deliberately, consciously choose to share points on both sides wherever relevant. We should make it a point to share points on both sides wherever relevant, so it's a more balanced picture. But we need to exercise care deliberately to consider whether have we shared a wholesome picture, especially when we are more inclined. There's a personal desire that action be taken in a certain direction. Do we share on both sides of the picture, wherever relevant? Let us take note that bringing the matter to the attention of the relevant proper person or persons concerned can be important, helpful, needful, so that the matter can be properly looked into. This is a point that we need to take note of and to register it long term, because from time to time these things do arise and we need to recognize the importance that at times certain matters need to be looked into, and there's a proper place for it that such matters be brought to the attention of the relevant proper people, so that the matter can be looked into, the people concerned can be helped, and also that the problem can be contained which may otherwise spread. Sometimes it's really quite complex, but if nothing is done, it can become more and more problematic. Sometimes it is at the early stages, but if nothing is done, it can become very serious, or more and more serious. And what is wrong cannot be corrected. But if the matter is brought to the attention of the relevant people, then what is wrong may be corrected, so that the Lord's work may not be hindered or undermined. Sometimes the difference between speaking up and keeping silent can be great, and the consequences far-reaching. Let's realize that even if at times it is deemed best that no direct specific action can be taken, or no direct specific action be taken, there can be definite prayer about the matter, and we must not underestimate the significance of this. Something that's going on, there's deep concern, issues may not be very clear, but even if no specific action be taken in the meantime, there can be definite prayer about the matter, and this is an area we must not underestimate. Also, at times, even though no specific direct action is taken, there can be a monitoring of the situation, an alertness to the issues pertaining to it, because there's awareness of the issues involved. Or, where appropriate, helpful precautionary steps may be taken to contain or to minimize the negative implications that may arise. All these are possible where information is available which otherwise may not be taken. At times, including some steps can be taken to diffuse potential problems, including sometimes very major ones. Steps may be taken to diffuse it. In conclusion, I want to highlight this point that we should take note, and that is, we are responsible and we will be held accountable not only for careless, damaging words. We are responsible and will be held accountable not only for careless, damaging words and spreading suspicions, strife, division, bitterness, confusion, but we are also responsible and will be held accountable. We are also responsible and will be held accountable about things we know and should have spoken up but fail to do so. We are also responsible and will be held accountable about things we know and should have spoken up but fail to do so, especially important issues that needs to be looked into or brought to the attention of the right people. Both areas are important. Careless, damaging words, spreading suspicion, strife, division, we'll be held accountable. We are responsible if we indulge in these things. But let us also remember that we will also be held accountable if we choose to remain silent when we should speak up, especially where the issues are significant. So do not think keeping silent is always better or the safer inverted commas, the safer course of action. Sometimes we have this false notion. If I keep silent, it's better, it's a safe course of action. After all, I didn't do anything. I cannot be held accountable. I didn't do anything. It's not my responsibility. I didn't do anything. I didn't even say a word. But we can be held accountable because we have kept silent when we should speak up. It is not always the safer course of action, or perhaps you should say inaction. We will stop here for today. A brief summary of what we have considered for today. We have considered important issues pertaining to our ability to communicate. Our ability to communicate, it can result in this potential for much good or evil, destructive or constructive. And our topic for today is having good fellowship or contributing to disunity. Caring tales or being responsible. But sometimes it may appear to be good fellowship, showing concern, discussing about various issues, but in reality, we are promoting disunity, we are gossiping, we are spreading strife. On the other hand, sometimes people may be viewed as caring tales, being busybodies, but they are actually being responsible and fulfilling something rather important and needful in the healthy outworking of church life. So we have considered various common negative examples of how when we are not careful, even though we may appear to be having good fellowship, we may actually contribute to various complications, problems in the relationship amongst the brethren because we are not so careful in being accurate in what we communicate, or not so careful in the way we perceive, observe what is taking place and then go on to communicate it to third parties. And in particular, when we hear or we want to be involved in context where it involves comments, unfavorable comments about others, we need to exercise great care. Whether is it something helpful, needful, are we quite careful, accurate? What kind of effects does it have on the one who is hearing it? Or do we go about it in a way that aggravates matters, that sometimes results in very strained relationships unnecessarily, that may at times stretch over many years? The Lord will hold us accountable if we have been careless in these areas, and even more so if there is malice on our part, ill will, negative motives involved. But even when there is no ill will involved, it does not mean we will not be accountable if we have not been careful in the whole way we go about it. However, we should also bear in mind that even though there are various problems associated with talking about others, especially unfavorable observations or queries in the way we communicate about various issues that may raise queries about people, although there are various problems associated with talking about others in this way, we need to realize that there is a place, and not only a place, at times it can be rather important that these things need to be talked about, but we must make sure that it is the proper place to do so, and the approach we take, the motive is correct, our genuine concern for the people involved, for the implications for the Lord's work, and we take care that we communicate accurately in a wholesome manner, so that the matter can be looked into effectively, or even if at times no specific direct steps are taken, the matter can be monitored prayed over. And finally, to remember that we are responsible not only for careless talk that causes damage, but we are also responsible and have to give an account and will be held accountable about things which we know, which we should speak up, but we fail to do so, especially when failure to do so has significant implications to the Lord's work. Let us now spend some time to prepare ourselves to partake in the Lord's Supper. Let us reflect over our lives. Have we been careless in our communication that can lead to problems, even if at times we may not be very conscious of the kind of damage and problems it can create? Let us realize that the Lord may be displeased and there can be significant negative consequences, even if at times the words uttered may be accurate, but the whole spirit of it, the whole direction in which we are trying to move the hearer, is out of negative motive, the damage can still be serious and the wrong impressions communicated. The Lord requires that we need to partake the Lord's Supper in a spirit of love and sincerity, without any malice or wickedness, even as we partake of the unleavened bread. And so let us ask the Lord to search our hearts, to purify us, to deliver us from whatever impurities there may be in our hearts, that we may not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Our Father in heaven, we come before your holy presence with a deep sense of unworthiness to come before you, a deep sense also of gratitude for the grace you richly bestowed on us. We ask that you will help us that we may respond deeply and well to your grace towards us. We ask that you help us that we may grow in a deeper understanding of your desire for our lives and how we can respond well to you and cooperate well with what you're seeking to teach us, what you're seeking to do in and through our lives. We know, Father, that to bridle the tongue is not an easy thing.